This is an encore presentation of Jefferson State of Mind on KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Good morning, everyone. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. The bookends are back.
Living the dream.
This is Jefferson State of Mind. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better,
mm-hmm.
and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. KCNR1460.com, and we will archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
And so we would hope that if you don't hear the program live or you don't, you can listen to it anytime you want. Just go right to our archive, Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, and hit that little archive button, and Christina comes, it archives about 10 minutes after we're done, doesn't it?
Of course.
How are you? Are you drinking your tea?
Yes, I am. It's kind of the cold coming back. I wasn't expecting, and then left the windows open.
Oh, the windows won't give you a cold.
Talk to your husband. Have him shut those windows.
He was fighting for the blanket.
You know, it does become an issue once you get married that opening and closing a window now becomes a bone of contention sometimes.
I totally agree.
It does.
Are you the person who likes it closed or open?
I like it open for a few seconds.
For a few seconds, you said?
Yes, but sometimes I forgot to close, and then we are having bad conversations from this point.
Well, we are here in downtown Reading. It looks like the sun's trying to come out today. It's supposed to be fairly nice. So, Wynn, did you get a chance to go to the home show in Anderson yet?
No. I didn't. It's not on my radar. I have other things I'm doing.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Anything new?
Anything new? No.
No?
No.
Nothing new. I like your jacket there.
Oh.
That's cool.
First of all, welcome back, Wynn.
What's that?
Welcome back, Wynn. I'm happy that the team is back.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy to be back.
Well, as Kevin tried.
Somebody's got to get back here and keep Terry under control.
Yeah.
Well,
somebody
keep
asked. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Well, the election looks like it's almost over. It looks like everything's pretty much been decided, unless there's some shenanigans. We'd never see that, would we?
Some more shenanigans.
Some more shenanigans, yes. And I think that District 2 now, as we look at that race, from what I understand, there's about 800 ballots left to count, I think.
Have no idea.
Is what I heard. I heard that on a radio program yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you have a question or a comment and you want to talk a little bit about the elections.
We don't want to hear it.
530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Lots of stuff going on.
Just kidding.
We'll be talking a little bit about the Gavin Newsom recall, or not.
Again? Round two? Is that what's going to happen?
I know.
And who's counting those votes?
Who knows, you know. And we'll also talk a little bit about what's going on here. I guess there's some movement on the jail, I hear.
They moved the
jail? If anybody has information on that. We've had, also, if you have anything on the races, anything more up-to-date than what we may have heard this morning on Kevin Cry's program, which was pretty good. I recommend people listen to it. Talked about some of the procedures they'll start using at the Board of Supervisors. And one that I thought was interesting was that public comment now will be You can speak at public comment at the very beginning of the meeting, but Kevin had said that you have to request it the night before.
Oh, did that in writing or online or something?
Yeah, and he clarified that, and it's online, or you can get a hold of your supervisor and let him know you want to speak early, because or you can get there before the meeting starts and fill out a yellow card. The challenge with that, though, really is the fact that sometimes you can't get parked, you know, there, or find a spot, and maybe get in at 9:01 or 9:05, and you're too late to fill out a card. But you can't do it the night before, and there is a place you can go to online, hopefully. And I don't think this starts until the April, first meeting in April, I think. Maybe later than that. I'm not really sure, but one of those meetings. But I think that the first thing I think I want to talk about a little bit is the Gavin Newsom recall, and also if you have information on the initiative that is being put forward for parental rights, which to me is amazing to think that we have to have a parental right initiative. But I want to talk a little bit about the Gavin Newsom recall and kind of get your perspective on this win. I know that people are going to want to try that again. There's a group that want to, and you kind of get that thing that, and you know, in your gut when it's saying, hey, something's going on here. What would prevent the legislative body of the state of California from making it more difficult for us to recall a governor or put conditions on it? And I talked to James Gallagher, who I think most people really respect as a conservative Republican in our assembly. And I gave him a call, left a message. He called me back. And we had a little discussion about that because, as most of you know, the recall now, if you have a recall at the county level, you will automatically, if that recall happens, you will automatically have the replacement on your board of supervisors be selected by the governor of the state of California. So what would happen with the governor being recalled? Anyway, I talked to James, and he said, well, funny you should mention that, because what they're trying to do is push forth an amendment, shock, another amendment to the California Constitution. That'd make, what, 575 or something like that?
Something crazy, yep.
And the issue would be that if, in fact, the governor is recalled, then the lieutenant governor would take that position for the remainder of the term, whatever that may be.
Uh-huh.
And that's dangerous in all kinds of ways, because most of the time the lieutenant governor is of the same persuasion of the governor himself.
Uh-huh.
And so you would get – and then that lieutenant governor would also become what? The incumbent. And we all know that the election rate of an incumbent in the state of California is about 90% or more.
Yep.
So James wasn't really – excited about this, and it's one of those things again where they like us to go out and beat our chest and buy our t-shirts and, you know, get there and get those petitions signed and everything else, and then we walk into it and all of a sudden they change the law on us.
Well, you asked a moment ago in the very beginning of that, you know, why would this all happen? Why would the governor be able to control the legislature, and why would they do all of that? Why would they be in lockstep? Well, I don't know, there are probably a couple things, like, oh, I don't know, blackmail, payoffs, inner circle desire, etc., yada, 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 all the way down the list. So I don't know. What do you think? I think that's more than likely what it is, because, you know, some of these people that are in there that are representing us statewide or, you know, within districts for the state, they've always been the little fish in the big pond, and they want to be the big fish in the little pond. And so the little pond is the number of our representatives that we have statewide. That is a very small pond when you're talking 120 people for approximately 39, 40 million people. That's a very small pond, and they like that. They want to be in there. But they were also the kids that were sitting, you know, riding the pine. They never got chosen for the sports. They never. I mean, if you look at what they do and how they do it, that's very clearly what they are. And so you just have to keep an eye on them, watch what's going on. But how do you affect any change? I don't know. That's the million-dollar question.
Well, I think the only way you affect change is you affect change by increasing representation, number one. But I also think that the people who are in office like it the way it is. It may not be, I don't think they need to be, I'm not sure some of them, but the majority of them, I think, probably like what's going on. They like the legislation they're pushing through. They believe in left-wing communist agenda. They believe in all that. So they're actually doing what they believe, and they are recruiting people by giving them freebies, et cetera, et cetera. You've heard it all before, folks. They're doing all that stuff to make sure they stay in power.
That goes back to the payoffs I just mentioned. So, you know, what do they owe? Who do they owe? And how much do they owe?
And how much will they get?
And what will they get? They're greasing their palms. Mm-hmm. So all those things right there, that tells you what's going on and why it's going on. We have dishonest people that are not God-fearing people running our state. That's exactly what we have. If they were God-fearing, they wouldn't be pulling this garbage.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to probably everything in life. I mean, you know, if everybody was saved, you wouldn't have a problem.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, so I remember a guy saying, well, you know, if everybody who believed in abortion was aborted, we wouldn't have a problem.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, the realism of this is they like it the way it is. I agree with you. There's probably some blackmail and some things like that going on, but they like it the way it is. I mean, you know, we had Gaines came out of there as a State Board of Equalization, and Gaines, what came out of there as senator, he started with one house, ended up with 12. I mean, come on, you know, he was a good Republican. You know, I mean, you look at this stuff and you kind of wonder, you know, really, is it, you know, how do we control that? Well, you know, again, if we go to a position of saying, all right, we're going to recall the governor now, with this new position that they would have, and they can get it because, as I've said 100 times, there's 32 Democrats and 8 Republicans in the Senate, and there's 63 Democrats and 17 Republicans in the Assembly, and the spawn of Satan is governor. And when I was talking to James Gallagher, he brought up an interesting point. He said, you know, when I first got into office, there were 28 of us. 28 Republicans. And now there's, like, really only 13, because 4 always vote with the Democrats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is that I don't see a way to, and if you have a way you think you can fix that, give us a call, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567.
And we have Mark on the
line.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Living the dream.
I was just curious, have either one of you read the book yet, Blood Money?
Blood Money, no.
Who wrote that book, Mark?
Oh, gosh, I got it right here. Let me look real quick.
Sure.
It's Peter Schweitzer.
Okay.
Okay.
And it is a, he's a New York Times bestselling author. It's, he's a political investigative journalist, basically, I think. And but what it details is something that we already know here in Siskiyou. I'm sure your sheriff knows about it, too. I don't know how much he's talking about it, but that the Chinese Communist Party is engaged in an undeclared war in the United States with the intent of destroying America from within through the sale of drugs, the facilitation of civil unrest, and the funding of groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter and other leftist organizations that destabilize schools, destabilize our political life, destabilize our state, and that there is a trail of blood that is as wide as I-5 that leads from the Mexican border right to the governor's office in Sacramento, because Gavin Newsom is in league with these guys. He's been to China. He makes trade deals with them. He's, I'm sure, taken the money. And there are several questions that people ought to be asking themselves. Number one, are you okay with that? But number two, why is it that the flood of drugs is seemingly unimpeded coming across the southern border along with every crook, criminal, drug dealer, MS-13 member? There are new gangs coming in from Guatemala and El Salvador, gangs we've never even had here before. They're being facilitated. They're selling drugs to people who can ill afford to take them. And these people are dying by the tens of thousands and turning our cities into unimaginable hellscapes. And seemingly the people in the Congress and the people in the legislature in Sacramento are literally blind for the whole thing, if not facilitating it themselves.
I think they're facilitating it a lot themselves. Go ahead.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're getting paid, and Newsom's
right.
getting paid,
right.
and his wife is getting paid to sell pornographic materials to the school district. I mean, you know, I think we're almost past the point where we say, you know, is this recall a good idea? Yeah, I mean, of course it's a good idea. It may or may not happen, but the point is the state is gone. It's lost. We have but one hope. I mean, we were talking about the Klamath Dam removal here yesterday. I was at a gathering with Rich Marshall, and we were talking about it. And we've, you know, Richard has successfully recruited a group of lawyers that has the horsepower, will work for nothing, and is going to try to kick those people in the teeth for killing an entire county, killing an entire ecosystem, killing millions and millions and millions of animals through this dam removal, killing an entire wild and scenic river for 200 miles and getting paid by the government to do that. We have to ask ourselves, at what point do we as citizens say, in order to preserve what very little is left of our liberty and left of our freedom and left of our community, we have to get away from these people. You can't live with them anymore. They don't want what you want. They want you to die. They want you to be broke. They want you to be a communist. You know, I don't know what it is exactly that they want, but if you don't want the same thing, we have to get away from these people. We have to vindicate a Second Amendment so that they're afraid to approach because they know there might be resistance. We have to increase representation for rural counties because our counties are disappearing or we're being slaughtered economically. What is the wake-up call? Is it the fact that the school board meeting isn't going your way, or is it the fact that your community is circling the drain more quickly than the water circles the drain in your toilet?
Well, I think a lot of it's apathy. You know, I think that people really don't look at it that way. I've spent a lot of time in Southern California. The lifestyle is different than it is up here. I think that the rural counties I'm sure that they understand their liberty a lot more than a lot of people in the urban counties. But the urban counties are trying to take things back in a conventional manner. And that is, let's take it through our Republican Central Committees. Let's take it through whatever group we can do here. Let's get more Republicans, those kinds of things. And I agree with you, Mark. I think the only plan here is state split, and evidenced by what James Gallagher said, who seems like he's been run hard and put to bed wet a bit. And that's probably good for anybody who's been in politics for that to happen to him. But I think the main thing is that the understanding there is no fixing the unfixable. And I think a lot of people are coming to that conclusion. It just has to be more vocal. It has to be out there. I mean, what you're doing on the Second Amendment is a great thing. I mean, the simple fact that we have to go to court to establish our own right, and that the people of California have to have an initiative for parental rights, I mean, what the hell is that? And this recall thing, I mean, I have to agree with Gallagher there. It doesn't make any sense. And when that ballot comes out, if Newsom gets recalled, there will not be that other side of the ballot saying, who would you like to be governor instead? And that's what they can do. And I think that California is probably the pinnacle of all the things you talked about, Mark, and all the corruption you're talking about. I don't think it is. I know it is. And I think the only way we can do that is to get away. And how that looks as far as, I don't know, 4 states, 5 states, 3 states, 2 states, however that looks, I think that the rural counties need to get together now and do and finish the job that we started in 2013. And we need to go after state split. And frankly, I think a lot of us don't care what that looks like or how that happens, meaning that we may be a little more on the edge than we were before. What do you think?
I think you're right in a big way. Yes, you're right. However, it is incumbent upon us to do something about this, because I know we can't care how it happens because we're past that point. We've got to take whatever scrap we can get out of this deal. If that's 10 states and ours is 2 counties wide, then okay, we'll take it because that's all we can get. I mean, we're not going to get the ideal, because what I've kind of theorized is that the enemy that is arrayed against us is more powerful than we are, more well-funded than we are, and more able to stop us than we ever thought they could be. And that is because they have allied themselves with the Chinese Communist Party. They're facilitating the murder of their own citizens. The legislature in Sacramento is facilitating the murder of Californians. Now, I want that to just sink in for a minute. This isn't an accident. These people aren't stupid. Well, they may be stupid in some ways, but they're not stupid in that way. Our governor knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. The Chinese Communist Party is facilitating the murder of Californians and the murder of tens of thousands of Californians and hundreds of thousands of United States citizens each year with drug production in your county right now, in our county right now, and I can prove that. I mean, we have the documentation. I've been in the dope grows. I've seen the Chinese Communist footprint on the dope grows. I mean, this is happening. And the fact that no one is talking about it is absolutely astounding to me. And what we've done is we've gone down Alice's rabbit hole in this direction or in that direction. But I'm going to tell you what. We must have the ability to defend ourselves because the threat is here now. It's here in your community now. You could be attacked on the trail down by Turtle Bay. You could be attacked in the park. You could be attacked and be murdered for the 25 cents you got in your pocket so they can buy a fentanyl pill to kill themselves with. That is here now. That is irrefutable. It happens every day in cities all across California. We must have the ability to defend ourselves and our communities and our families, and we must manufacture the ability somehow within ourselves to break away from this state or to fundamentally and radically clean the drain. Because if we don't do that, we're all going to be gone, or we'll all be wearing an armband that has a hammer and a sickle on it.
Yeah, I mean, the hammer and the sickle on the armband probably is, and I don't mean this in any other way other than the fact that I think you're right in the first, with the first thing you said. I think they're trying to diminish the population. I mean, I can remember talking to a liberal acquaintance I had saying, you know, there's just too many people, just too many people. And I think that they are trying to do that. I think that people are just not, they're so oblivious to things. It's astonishing. And we've dumbed down the population, or the government has dumbed down the population to a point to where they're not standing up for any of these things. I mean, the simple fact, again, that you have to be in court to stand up for us. And, oh, by the way, I did talk to Sam Paredes the other day. He was on Carl Bott's show, and I called in because I was curious as to, you know, the help that you haven't gotten. And he said he supports what you're doing and all that good stuff. But, you know, they've got 30 other cases. I can't think of another case that's more important than your case at this point. And I'm not saying that out of any bias or anything else. There isn't another case in the United States that shows the importance of constitutional carry more than yours does. And if you're Sam Paredes and you're Gun Owners of California and you're the NRA and you're the California Rifle and Pistol Association, they should be all jumping in behind you and not worried about a case that's going to say whether or not a 15-year-old can have a 22 or not. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious. I totally agree with you because it is irrelevant whether you can have six rounds or seven rounds in your magazine or whether you can have this particular manufacturer of gun or that particular manufacturer of gun or this type of rifle or that type of rifle if you're not allowed to take it anywhere.
Exactly.
And you're not allowed to carry it. I mean, who cares? I don't care what gun they say is okay for me to have, provided I jump through this hoop and that hoop, or provided I register with this person or that person, because I'm not allowed to carry it anywhere anyway. And when I am allowed to carry it, I am absolutely under government control.
Yes.
They tell you where you can carry it,
yes,
when you can carry it, how you carry it, and they know who everyone is. And by the way, they leak your information to the public so that you're a target for theft or a target for violence. And they've done that several times in the past, and they didn't even get in trouble for it.
And they even tell you what you can carry, because in California, you're restricted on what weapons you can carry.
That's exactly right. So we have to ask ourselves what's important to us. Are we going to chase bunnies here? Or are we going to vindicate a Second Amendment right to carry a weapon of our choice when we want, where we want, without the government knowing, without asking government permission, and without, and because the government doesn't have the right to know everything I own.
Exactly.
Where did they get that authority? It's not constitutional.
Right.
The
right.
government does not have my permission to examine my private affairs and to inventory my private possessions for their purposes.
Right, Mark, we're going to have to...
I don't grant that authority.
We have to go off to our break. Can you hold over, brother? Can you hold over, please?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Okay, we're going to go off to our break here. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
I will not be leaving quietly. You can use me, strike and dispute me, dumb down the rest, yeah, but I'll keep refusing. You can pretend life has been the last. And make you feel sure that, hey, there ain't no guarantee. They covered your mouth and they've tied back your hands. They did it to all of the kids. And nobody knows all the damage that's done. It won't ask until the master.
We are back.
We're back. We got another caller online real quick.
We do. Hey, Mark, are you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so we're going to let Siskiyou Steve on here. I know it's hard for you to hear. when we have
two on the line.
In fact, I don't even know if you can hear at all when there's two on the line. So stay with us. So, Steve, what say you, sir?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that it's really, really, I'm really, really happy to hear Wynn back on the show. He is the other side of the, it's a good balance. So, and then this morning when I heard it's a way of life, it settles in your soul, it just sent chills because I finally got my State of Jefferson flag back up again. And when it settles in your soul, the beauty of this country, it just, I mean, being a I don't know. The older you get, the more sentimental you get. I don't know. It's just you can't sit by and do nothing. So I've started this little tiny group, and it's small. It's the Sons and Daughters of Liberty. I'm trying to work a way to the moms and pops who can't get to these meetings, but somehow we're going to get to a few of them and then get that circulated through the moms and pops. And try to empower the people that way with education. I've been reading this really fantastic book, The Patriots, the men who started the American Revolution. And, you know, it goes from about 1700 to 1776. But before that was 1600, and the colonies were fighting and becoming aware of the problem. For 100 years, it seems like, and Mark
actually started at 1100. Actually,
yeah. I've been dying to get with Mark and talk more about this because it's really fascinating. But you know, somewhere along the line, I got to get the book on that one. Where did these 10,000 people start showing up in the town hall meetings? Is what I want to learn because. You know, we've been at this for 20 years now, maybe some of you even more. And there's still, you know, 500, 300, 20, 30 people showing up. It's just really, really ridiculous. So, you know, there's a lot to learn about our past history, and history does repeat itself. And that's one of the things that keeps giving me the positive feeling that we will prevail. But, you know, I was talking with a big rancher yesterday. It was a big surprise because I had my first little group meeting with this group of men so far with the Sons of Liberty and Daughters. And a rancher showed up, a big rancher, a huge rancher from this area. And he's been fighting, you know, for years now. He said 30 years. He's burnt out. He's tired, but he can't give up. I guess he's pretty really, really wealthy, too, because he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars protecting his water and his rights. But he's been up and down Sacramento.
Hey, Steve, can you kind of speed this up a little bit, buddy?
I am. I'm getting to the point.
Okay, good. Thanks.
The point is that he has, and it's interesting that he has all this faith in Brian Daly.
Okay.
And he says that Brian Daly is pissed. So, you know, for what it's worth, I'm just going to say that. And, you know, I love your show. I love Wynn. Good luck to you in the election. And I'm glad you're back on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve, but that ship has sailed.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, so Mark, what...
I couldn't hear him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he was talking about a small group he has going on up there about, about patriotism, and he's got a small group going. I don't know if you're involved in that up there, but kudos to him for trying to start something.
I'm not, but I'll definitely be talking to him.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great because I think that you know, Steve has a good heart. I think he's a guy who's he's always. Fighting for liberty, always standing up for, you know, what
Let
he can
tell
do.
You, he works harder.
He works
all
hard.
Day, every day
you
than
bet.
Anybody I know about that. So, yeah, I love Steve. He's a friend, and I will definitely be talking
Great.
To him about this.
Great, because I think that's part of it, too. I mean, you know, it's not going to just work with radio programs or podcasts and things like that. We've got to get to the people.
It's kitchen table effects.
The kitchen table effect. Good point.
You have to, you
Good
know,
point.
You sit down at the table, have a cup of coffee or a beer, a sandwich, whatever. And
moonshine.
Talk about stuff. Yeah, that's
yeah.
what has to happen.
But I think that it is important for us to know right now that and the Chinese even have a name for this. They call it disintegration warfare. It is an unrestricted, no holds barred, there are no rules. China is at war with the United States. They've never declared it in the press, but they are at war. They call it disintegration warfare. They are destroying our nation from within, and our elected officials are helping them.
Yes.
Joe Biden and his crooked son are helping them. Mitch McConnell has probably helped them. Gavin Newsom has helped them and received money for his trouble. We are at war with China. You have to know that. This is important because people around you, maybe even people in your families, maybe relatives, are dying from these drugs, and the fabric of our society is disintegrating from within due to unrestricted immigration across the southern border and the northern border, for that matter, and the literally almost unfettered flow of drugs into our communities, and now that it's legal, the production of drugs in our communities. I mean, these grows are all over the place. And if you doubt that, folks, call your sheriff and ask him, is drug production up or down in Shasta County? And just see what he says.
Well, you know, I think that, I mean, all that's true. I mean, all that's
and
true.
Unless we stand up as people and demand
right.
something different,
right.
it's not going to change. It's going to get worse. It is up to us now. Our elected officials are in Sacramento are not doing the job. We know that. It's as plain as the nose on your face, and all you have to do is drive around and look and see how much, you know, is crime up or down? Is homelessness up or down? Do things cost less or more than they did 10 years ago? Is your life better or worse than it was 10 years ago? Just ask yourself some basic questions. Are my children in more danger from exterior social forces than they were 10 years ago? Or are they more likely to be turned into some deviant sexual behavior or some intersexual weirdo furry gender than they were 10 years ago? I mean, just ask yourself a few simple questions. And once you've answered those questions honestly, then make up your mind that we need to do something about it, and the best thing we could do is get away from them. But in the interim, we're going to have to do something to stop this disintegration before it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, all that's true. What we have to look at now is the fact that, I mean, this stuff that's going on has so many tentacles, and we haven't really united in one situation. And I think that's been the key for all of this. I think that there has to be.
But we have to go after the head.
We got to go after the head. And Lynn's right about that. I think he's right about the kitchen table. I mean, I think there's a lot of that. I know that that's worked in Southern California with a lot of people. I mean, you know, there's a list of people when we've been down there and doing some teaching that are running for office. And they probably won't win, but they got into the general election. But in doing that, they're understanding, hey, California is unfixable. And when you have people from San Francisco County, Orange County, Riverside County, et cetera, that are saying that, hey, we need to do something. We need to change things here. We have to stop this and change things here. The problem is where we, the people, we don't act like it. And just like you said, and that's what you're saying, Mark. We just don't act like it. I mean, we should be down there, frankly, on the Capitol steps, thousands and thousands and thousands of us, demanding our liberty and getting rid of that communist, that the spawn of Satan that we have is our governor. And that's the things that we need to do. And people have to stand up and do that. I think that there has to be a lead, though. It's kind of like, you know, the founders. I mean, they'd all sit in a bar and sit upstairs in over a pub and a tavern and hash things out on what we're going to do. It may not be a whole bunch of people that get engaged in this event at first, but I think that the time is right to have a state split, and the time is right to not rejuvenate, but to generate the idea of the state of Jefferson, maybe the state of Madison, maybe the state of Franklin, whatever the case may be, but we have to start doing that. And I think that Siskiyou County could be a pivotal part of that, and I think that, you know, it can't just be more things where we're just saying, well, gee whiz, you know, we can sit down with these people. We have to sit down, and people have to have a job, right, Wynn?
Right, and it can't just be the same people doing all the same work. It's got to be people from other counties. How much skin in the game do you guys want to have? I mean, if you want the liberties, you have to work for it. I mean, you have to, and when I say work for it, you have to contribute to it physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. You have to contribute. And so for people just to sit back and be a tailgater, that's not going to cut it. So we absolutely need to do that. I agree 100%.
You know, I'm going to give you a few.
Well, I think that we perhaps ought to begin in our own county and maybe get small committees again like we had before. We call them committees of correspondence or whatever you want to call them. And we need to work toward a statewide symposium on righting the course of the ship and stopping the destruction of our society and the destruction of our children and the destruction of our way of life through the seditious, unlawful, treasonous acts of the people, because the spawn of Satan in Sacramento have to have minnows to help him accomplish his goals, and the building in Sacramento is filled with them. I think perhaps it's time for a statewide convention to get rid of that and to make a fundamental change and perhaps get another a strong referendum going to break this state up into manageable governmental units where the people in that geography, the people in that area, can get the things they want and need in order to restore liberty and restore the economic viability of their communities and destroy the outside foreign influence into their lives and the lives of their families.
Yeah, and I think the thing we have to do is we have to look at the thing, just like you're saying, Mark, but part of the problem is that the Republican Party is trying to steer all of this. And
yeah,
I'm not saying that's good.
I'm not talking about them, and I don't even want to include them.
Well, the thing is that here's the problem. Here's the problem. Let me finish. Here's the problem. District 51, Steve Hohill. He is going to the general. He was at one of the teaching seminars I did. Paul Jones, District 62. He is in the general. He's a Republican. He'll probably lose, but he understands liberty now because he went ahead and understood that he needed to learn about the Constitution. District 34, Manuel Norris Barrera, my favorite. Manuel's family has had a deli in San Francisco for years and years and years. He decided to run for assembly. He stayed 2 days when we did a teaching seminar down there for 2 days on strategy, the Constitution, what to do, how government works, et cetera. And he is willing to stand up and fight, not necessarily for the Republican Party, but for the people. He is in the general. Tracy Schroeder, my personal favorite. Tracy is a young school teacher, single, removed from her job with a couple of other teachers because of the fact that she was teaching the Constitution, wanted to pray in class. She ran for assembly. She's fighting. She runs for assembly. She's made it to the general. But her belief is, hey, we need to do something to change the whole thing. It's not being a good Republican. Then you have Melissa Tooman, who's running for Congress in District 36, and I can go on and on and on with these people that I've met and talk to them. And all the stuff we've been doing, Mark, for the last 10, 15 years has sort of rubbed off, because the stuff that the most fundamental things that we've talked about in the Constitution, or teaching about our liberty, or teaching about the founders, or teaching about our faith, all those fundamental things are things those people have never heard before. But the idea, like Manuel and Tracy, to stand up like they're doing, and they haven't got total reliance on the Republican Party. The challenge is that we have to have a situation to where we get to the people. And that's why, I mean, I'm not clear on how we do that, Wynn. I'm not clear on how we go around the Republican Party or how we do that. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that. I don't know.
Well, why would we eliminate or alienate any group, you know? We can't.
True.
I mean, that's not what we would be doing for...
But if they're going against what... If it's more about the party line, if it's more about getting more of our...
It can't be about party line.
Exactly.
It can't be. No, I'm just saying it can't be about party line.
Right.
In Jefferson, we've always talked about it as being inclusive. That's what we've always said. You know, we were questioned about that at some of the town halls we've had.
Right, it's irrelevant whether you have R next to your name. If you're an R, fine. If you're a D, fine. It doesn't matter as long as you come in the door.
Right.
It's what's right, not who's right, that counts.
That's correct.
If Republicans want to be involved in this, they're, you know, welcome. Stand up. Fight.
It's the platform they're using.
It has to be this has to come from the bottom up.
That's right.
It's time. I think if people aren't waking up now, I don't know when they would wake up. So, but this has to be a referendum of the people. It has to come from the bottom up or it's not going to succeed, and it has to involve millions and millions of people in order to beat the crooked vote that's also in charge in California. I mean, we have to have overwhelming support. And I think if you walk down Main Street, California, and you say, is it okay for your child to have their body parts cut off without your permission, I think most people would say, no, that's not okay. Is it okay for your children to be infected with Chinese communist drugs in their schools or in the vicinity of their schools? I think most people would say, no, I don't think that's probably okay either. Are you okay with millions of people being on the street homeless, hopeless, and dying? I think millions of people would say, no, that's probably not okay with me. I mean, these issues are common issues. They're human issues. So let's raise the flag.
Well, we've done that. We're doing that. I think that the main thing is we have to have a direction, and people have to have a job. I mean, that's always been the course. I mean, when you have a situation, well, we need to wait till this happens to win. Well, when that happens, we can do it. Well, we've got to wait for this to happen. We've got to wait for that to happen. I mean, there is no more waiting. I think we have to do is be directionally focused on there's no way to fix this without adequate representation. And the only way you get adequate representation in the state, the country of California, is to increase representation and divide this state. That's the only way you do it. And that has to be the focus. That has to be the position. It can't waver from that. There's plenty of reasons to do it. I don't think people need a reason to do it. I think they need a job on how to do it. I think you have to have the education followed by strategy from the education, then the tactics to carry out the strategy that you've constructed from the education you've had. And that's where we need to go with those three things and not waver from that.
Yeah, I agree. So let's fire away.
Amen. Let's get her started.
You're making a lot of notes there, buddy.
I am. I write notes.
You are. That's good.
Yeah.
That's the mark of a smart person to write notes.
We have to change the timber of this government now so that they are more afraid of the people than the people are afraid of the government. That has to change now, and that's done through the Second Amendment.
Yes.
I agree. Yes. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, there's no question. You know, again, we have this, there's an initiative out there that a lot of people are fighting for and wanting to push forward for parental rights, and I read it. Author Gorman sent it to me. Thank you, Author. And I read it all, and what we have to look at is a situation where, you know, we're asking for something that is fundamentally our God-given right. We're asking for things that we shouldn't have to ask for. And again, we're we the people, but we don't act like it. I mean, you know, we don't understand that. It's like you said 100 times before, Mark, and I love your analogy of you know, things that aren't delegated to the government of the United States are reserved to the people. It can't be delegated by a power that's equal. You don't delegate to an equal power. You don't delegate to a higher power. You delegate to a lower power. And reserve means ownership. You own that thing that you're delegating, which is giving that temporary trust for somebody to do a certain thing. And I think that those are the things that need to be understood, but not understood. But here's the job on how you do it. Here's the strategy of what we're going to do, and here's the tactics you use. This is what you use. This is what you use in every board meeting you have. This is what you talk about. Nothing but state split, God-given rights. God-given rights, state split. God-given rights, state split. End of sentence, period. That's the way we have to fight this thing.
Amen.
There you go.
So
let me know when you get. Are you home now? Or
started, and let's find a place to have a statewide symposium where a few people from each county can agree on what we do next, and then let's do it.
I'm in. You in, Lynn?
I'm in.
Okay, we're in. All right, so
we'll get to work on it today.
Yep. What's that?
We'll get to work on it today.
Yeah. And also, when you get a chance, we will go ahead and we'll sit down and put something together, and we'll do another podcast
about this,
but not so much another podcast, we'll do a podcast, but again, talking about the strategy we're going to use, because I think that's the key thing. You're right about having a place where we sit down. Wynn's got it. Let's sit at the kitchen table. It's got a whole bunch of us at the kitchen table. And, You know, I think we maybe have to do this in one big place, but I think we've got to do something in each one of the counties, too. I think we have to have some kind of meeting in these counties where we get everybody together, you know, from these different groups, understanding what it is that we want.
Yeah, I mean, each county's got to come up with two or three people that they send to the big room, because otherwise the room wouldn't hold everybody. And then we've got to get we develop strategy from there. But we've got to have small committees in each county. Each county takes two or three people they send to the big meeting. And then we get together with 58 counties and stop this. I mean, if we don't stop this now, we're all going to be gone.
Agreed.
You know, it won't matter. So, yeah.
All right. We have a mission.
All right. Well, God bless you guys for the work you do. Keep it up.
Hey, you too,
Mark.
All right,
brother. Thank you, man.
Hey, I just want to put out there, too, that Mark is still continuously fighting for the Second Amendment. And if you feel the compunction to help him with that, because it's a money-sucking venture, because the state is using our money against us, and then they require you to pay money for attorneys to fight against them. But anyway, if you want to send some money for that account, please do. You make the check out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And in the memo on your check, put 2A, and then you can mail it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy, Redding, California, 96003.
You know, another thing I want to add, too, if you belong to the California Rifle and Pistol Association, get on those people. Hey, where's our help with Mark Baird? There's no question about the case. When Sam Paredes makes a comment like, oh, gee whiz, you know, that case is so important, it's very important, but we have 30 other cases. Mark's right. I mean, what's more important than protecting constitutional carry? What is more important than that?
Nothing.
And why would you have 30 cases? You only need one, constitutional carry. That's the only case you need.
And so it solves all the problems.
It solves all the problems, just like state split.
How could they not see that?
So, you know, and that's the thing. So if you're part of California Gun Owners Association, call Sam. Say, hey, man, this all sounds great. How come you're not back in Baird v. Vonta?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vonta. Then how come you're not doing that? How come that isn't happening? Same thing with the NRA. I mean, you know, I know that. How about Mark Mazzano? Hey, you know, Tunessa. Hey, guys. How about we get out there and we start supporting this thing? What is it you're going to do, although Mark Mazzano is gone, what are you going to do in an assembly right now where you're outnumbered? What? Stand there and argue about what? About what? Okay, the deal is that the fix is in on this deal. We need to have people educated in where their constitutionally protected rights are, give them a strategy that they can formulate from the education. It has to be uniform, and then we have to have the tactics in which we take back our liberty.
There you go.
And those are the three things we need to do. You know, and we need to understand now, I know the constitutional sheriff is a big deal. Hey, name one constitutional sheriff in the state of California.
They should all be constitutional because they took an oath to two constitution when they accepted that position.
Yep.
They swore a constitutional oath to the federal constitution and then to the state constitution, which also states that the federal constitution is the supreme law of the land. Can't get any more clear than that.
They can't. You know, and I'm tired of these sheriffs saying, well, we have to follow the law. Don't
and that's
know?
All elected officials. Every elected official
right.
has taken that same oath. Every elected official.
Well, not all of them, I guess, down in Southern California. Some of them don't have to take it now. It's a new one for you, brother.
Okay, since,
I know,
since it's
sorry,
a G-rated show,
I
won't make a snarky comment.
You can make any kind of comment you want, brother. You
no,
make
I don't want to get Christina in trouble, so I'm not going to do it. I don't want to get Carl in trouble, so okay. Fine, whatever.
So anyway, I think it's too late to get anybody in trouble. But anyway, so yeah, the deal is we have to start understanding we need to stand up here. We need to have a uniform thing. All the people, you know, all the people in this group, the people in that group, people in this group, people in that group. Hey, the real deal is you've lost your liberty. You need your liberty back.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do something in this state to get the liberty back. We can't do it conventionally. It's not going to happen. Okay? I'm not saying that the good people who are running for office that have their best intentions in mind, aren't good patriots, but they're patriots first, and then they're party second. And I think that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to bleed patriot blood, not